All right, folks, what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to John chapter 12. If you have your Bibles, turn to the Gospel of John chapter 12. Now, here's what we're doing. We're continuing on. We're actually getting close to, you know, we're looking at the Gospel of John, and we can kind of divide John into four main sections. We've gone through the first section already. We're in the midst of our second section, which is chapters 7 through 12. And that section has been focused on how people are reacting to Jesus, and primarily a lot of them are rejecting him. We're getting ready to, here in a few weeks, get into chapters 13 through 16, and we're going to see what Jesus is telling us about what he's doing for you and I as he gets ready to leave. We're going to talk about the Holy Spirit and other things. And then the final section is, of course, the crucifixion and what happens after that. But let's get back to chapter 12. We're talking about doing this study through John because we want to meet Jesus. We want to get to know him. And really, can I be honest with you? That's the most important thing. I mentioned it in my prayer. It's not about knowledge. Doctrine is good, but it's what you do with it. And where does it lead you in your relationship with him? Do you understand what I'm saying? It's about getting to know someone personally and intimately. So, okay, so this young lady down here, Lori, I met her in 1991. We got married in 93. So here we are. We're getting ready to celebrate 29 years together in June. And I'll be honest with you, I am growing in my understanding of her, and she's constantly blowing my mind. And she's growing in her understanding of me and growing in her frustration of me. And, you know, the reality was, is how do we have a relationship? We have to interact with each other. I can't just go by, like when we were dating, what somebody else said about Lori Weaver. I had to personally interact with Lori Weaver, who is now Lori Cannon, to know her. I can't just go by what my kids say about her, okay? I gotta personally interact with her and see how she reacts and reprimands me. You know what I'm saying? I've got to personally interact with her. And she's got to do that with me. You're changing, right? She's got to learn the changes. I got to learn the changes that goes on with life. It's the same thing in the relationship with God. God is not just simply reading something about him and knowing about him. You got to know him. But how do you know him? By interacting with him personally. And that's why we're doing the Gospel of John. We're going through this to find out more about who he is so that we can grow in our relationship with him. But here's what it also reveals, and we're seeing this especially in this second section of John, what it reveals about ourselves and why people follow him and don't follow him. And so today we're going to get to the section of John that's beyond. When we look at verse 12, we just saw that Mary anointed his feet with oil, and we saw the perspective that was given there, the focus on Judas and the rejection there. But we're going to see the triumphant entry today, as well as some other things and how people react to Jesus and what Jesus is saying. And ultimately, Jesus is going to communicate that if you want to follow him, you got to make a choice. Now that's interesting, isn't it? Because a lot of us, we assume that following Jesus is our decision. We just got to do this one thing and we're there, right? Jesus actually comes along and says, look, if you want to follow me, here's what you got to do. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about a personal choice. Now, why do we got to start there? Well, I want to start off with a couple of things that I'm going to say are the issue of true faith, okay? For you and I to ponder and consider before we look at the passage. When we talk about the issue of true faith, here's what we want to see. Here's first of all, we tend to oversimplify what it means to be a believer in Jesus Christ. We tend to oversimplify that. It used to be, so like if I think about it, I've been a believer since 1985. You know, I can remember back then, it was, you know, to be a believer, you had to come to a place where you recognized your sin, and you needed Jesus, and so you prayed and you asked Christ into your life. And even that still, that message is still being conveyed today, but it's actually gotten a little bit more vague. It just simply needs to be, you just need to believe in Jesus and you're okay. And sometimes they don't even emphasize that. You just need to say you're a Christian. And a lot of people are saying that. They're a Christian, but they don't have any clue what that means. So we tend to oversimplify the message. Now, I understand why we do that. Okay? We all get to the same place. Why do we do that? It's because we love people. And because we love people, nobody wants people to go to hell, especially our loved ones, right? Especially our friends, especially the people that we hang out with, that we care about. We don't want them to go to hell, and so we want them to come to Jesus. And so what ends up happening, though, is sometimes the message of what Jesus says is a little hard for some folks. We've already seen that. We're going to see it again today. And so our tendency is to kind of reduce it down as much as possible because we want to make sure that they're okay. So we tend to oversimplify what it means to be a believer in Jesus Christ. But here's what I want you to see, and we're going to see it today. True faith is more than a mental acknowledgement of spiritual truths. True faith is more than a mental acknowledgement. Do you understand what I'm saying? True faith is more than just knowing about Jesus. It's knowing Jesus. There's a difference. It's more than just knowing a bunch of facts about him because you listened in Sunday school or whatever, or you listen on radio, or you listen to somebody that's on TV or whatever, or you've read a book, and so you've got some kind of mental understanding and you agree with whatever was presented with you. It's more than that. It goes beyond that. It goes to you personally interacting with God. And letting him interact with you. I'll give you an example. So, okay, this week, I was bothered by something. I saw somebody, you know, in a business situation doing something he shouldn't have been doing. And so I raised the question with somebody, okay, is this the way it's supposed to be? Because I feel like we're getting shafted here. I didn't use that word, but I feel like we're getting, it's not going well with what's supposed to happen on our end, meaning the church. And while I'm talking with the person who, quote, was supposed to, who done wrong, shows up and interjects in the conversation and makes his big explanation, which doesn't hold any water. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, okay, because everybody knows who I am in town. You're in town for 21 years. People know who you are. So you just can't lose it. So you're like, okay, yeah, thank you for your answer. I'll ponder that. And I left. So I came right back here, pulled in, walked in the door, walked into my office, sat down in my chair, and I'm bothered. And here's what I do. God, you just saw what happened. You just saw what that guy did. And I'm upset. I'm angry. I got it under control, but I'm angry. But there's nothing I can do about it. You ever been that way? All the time, right?